Now, we'd love to have a full choir this morning. Everyone want to help us, please come to the choir. If you haven't sung before, that's fine. Come right on. Please help us, would you? But I'll get a hymn on turn to page number 45, please. Page number 45. You found your place, let's all stand. Sing about God's goodness and God's mercy, especially this time of season. Let's all stand, page number 45.
Of my life, surely goodness.
so much. May be seated. Thank God for His mercy and His grace that shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalms chapter 23, verse number 6. And I was thinking, as Brother Randy was singing that song, that word follow in the Hebrew, it not only means to pursue after, it not only means to chase, but it also means to harass. You know, this morning, whether we want to or not, God's goodness, God's mercy is there harassing us, around us, pursuing us and chasing us. We thank Him for that. We thank Him for this past week, a time of thanksgiving that we set aside to remember all the great things God has accomplished in our lives. We thank Him for that. So good to see you here in the house of the Lord this morning. We've come to worship our Lord and Savior, and thank God you're here. We had a lot of visitors this morning. Thank you for choosing Fletcher First Baptist to come. Any need you have, we have some men in the back that will help you meet those needs in the restrooms. Or out the doors and to the left, we have a staff nursery. If you need to take your child out, they're welcome here. But if you need to take them out, there's some ladies back there that'll help you in those needs as well. We're going to go to the Lord at time with this prayer. I do have a card to read. It says, thank you so much. Dear church family, thank you so very much for all your prayers, hugs, comforting words, delicious food, and an outpouring of love during the death of my mother. We are truly blessed to be a part of such a godly and caring church family. Love, Marty and Pam Lida. Let's remember brother Marty and Pam's as Sister B went home to be with the Lord. And let's also remember his dad, Brother Eugene, as well. So if you have a need this morning, I'm glad we have a God that hears our prayers and He can answer our needs. If you do have a need, if you'll just uplift your hand, God knows and God sees. Brother Jerry Lauder, if you'll come at this time, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, dear God, we want to thank You for the opportunity that each one of us has to come to Your house this morning, dear God. We know that You've already been in the Sunday school, standing with every teacher and being in the heart of every student, dear Lord. I want to thank You for each one of them. Dear Lord, this week of Thanksgiving that we've had, we want to thank You for the families that were able to not always be together, dear Lord, but on Thanksgiving was able to come together, had to travel and such as that. I want to thank You for that fellowship and for that love, dear Lord. We should never, never take that lightly. Dear Lord, for those that are sick among us, for those with heavy hearts from lost loved ones, dear God, I pray Your hand of love upon each one of them's shoulder. Grant them the ability to handle whatever is set before them. Dear Lord, I know that You'll be in the midst of our service this morning. I pray, dear God, that Your people, their hearts would be open to receive what You have to give us. In Thy precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to remind everybody that play practice is this afternoon from 3 to 5 for the kids' play. From 3 to 5 today. Choir practice will be at 5. And also, we've got 1 week before the Christmas play. So adult practice is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. From 7 to 9, and we need everyone involved in the adult play to please be here so that we can get it smoothed out and make a good play. We're just hoping that there will be a lot of souls saved at this play. Thank you.
We had a special request calling from Miss Linda Moore that usually sits right over here. She's not able to be here. Several health issues, but mostly her back today, so keep Linda in your prayers. Also, the gifts for the children from the Fletcher community, where you took a name to buy gifts for Christmas for those children, all that is due by next Sunday and to be placed in a large conference room back at the end to my left, if you'll do that for us. One other quick reminder, the filler for the church directory. If you haven't picked one up yet, they're on the table out here to update your directory. Thank you.
Still in kind of the spirit of Thanksgiving, we're so blessed this morning. When you look across the world, we're so blessed. We're so blessed to even live in America, and how that God is still blessed us. As backwards and crazy as our country is, God has still chosen to bless us beyond measure right now. And we can never thank God enough for His goodness to us. And that's how many times that things could have happened, but we have a Heavenly Father that watches over us. And remember the scripture where He is hides our soul in the cleft of the rock when things are going on around us that we don't even know. So we're so thankful, and that's what our first song is about this morning. We have a Heavenly Father that watches over us. Listen as we sing.
Sometimes burdens so heavy to carry send me down to my knees. In the Lord's presence I will then tarry, waiting for victory. As I look upward into His glory, troubles all fade from view. When a sweet voice says, "Child, rejoice," I'm watching over you.
Old things passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Hope. All things become new. Listen to this song. I met Jesus.
I
different, a little bit different. Everyone, this is a... As we were talking about just a little bit, got so many things to be thankful for, but there's many times, and probably nobody is excluded. We walk through mountains, we walk through valleys, we experience hard things. We experience sometimes overwhelming things. If it were not for God in the cleft of the rock, there's no telling where we would be even today. We know that Job says that just as sure as the sparks fly upward, man's days are full of trouble, and that's true. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us at all times. He helps us. He gives us that strength. We can call upon Him sometimes, and we can have that encouragement, that hope for tomorrow, that help for the day. Many times when we're feeling so low like this, that's when the Lord comes by, whispers that sweet peace to our heart. Shows us how that He is helping us. He is a very present help in a time of trouble.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes I think it's just good to sit back and count our blessings. I really do. And realize that we're still blessed beyond measure. So listen as we try to sing this song. Tiffany's going to sing it, but the choir's going to back up on it. But if you can think of a time when you're just having those heartaches and those... Is climbing that mountain when that valley seems so dark and so lonely, so long. Do you think of that one of those times when Jesus just comes by this with His sweet Holy Ghost and whispered that sweet peace to you, whispered that help, let you realize and know that your heart is still in His hands. And you can say amen to that. Listen as we try to sing, say amen.
Strength be renewed as we
Hey, let's turn to page number 82. Let's stand just for a few minutes. Let's give honor to our Lord and Savior. Let's just praise Him this morning. Let's sing an old come. Let us adore Him. I didn't instruct the camera. I'm sorry, take her just a minute. Page number 82. Old come, let us adore Him. I tell you what. Sis. Let's just do it without music. Let's just sing it to Him without music, would you? Okay. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We'll praise Him.
Come, we'll receive the morning offering.
Precious Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be in your home this morning, Lord. We've given thanksgiving this week, and we continue to give thanksgiving, Lord, because it never ends with you. We're just so thankful for all that you do for us, the fact that you never forget us. And God, we just want to praise your name today. Thank you for this offering we're about to receive, and may it be a blessing to your kingdom in every way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We think that life isn't always be fair. We make a mistake when we try to compare. Oh, God is concerned about what we need, but there's more than what's here. There's eternity. The grass is not greener on the other man's side. Since the Garden of Eden, that's been Satan's lie. We need to confess how much we've been blessed. We need to thank God. Sometimes it seems that God doesn't care that the wicked get wealthy while his people despair. But there's an appointment that all men will meet. Those souls without God won't like what they reap. When we consider their end and the wages of sin, we need to thank God.
Thank God for what he's already done for us this morning. We thank him that we can come and uplift his name with freedom. We thank we can come and read the word of God. Most of all, we thank, as Brother Randy said, he's a very present help in time of trouble. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Tiffany, if it's okay with you this morning, at the end of the service, do you mind to sing Jesus Paid It All? Is that okay? Thank you. Mark chapter number 5. The Gospel of Mark, we know, was the first of the four Gospels that were written. We learn in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, that John was Mark's Jewish name. His surname, his Latin name, was Mark. So many times you'll hear commentators, some refer to the Mark, the writer of this Gospel, as John Mark. We know in 1 Peter chapter 5 that Peter was instrumental in leading Mark to Christ. He took time, I believe he took effort, prayer, in leading this young man to Christ. No doubt he was a great influence in Mark's life. And I'm thankful for the elder saints of God, the more mature saints of God, that does take time and spends time and effort in younger Christians' life. We see that Mark is unlike the other Gospels. It's unique in his writing. We read Matthew, and Matthew begins and it starts with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He starts with the generations, his lineage, starts where Christ came through, his past, his ancestry. The Gospel of Luke, it starts with his birth. Those angels herald the birth. They announce the birth. And we know that Mary wrapped this Holy One. The Bible says calls him the holy thing in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. He was born to die. That's how Luke's Gospel starts. We go to John, and he starts, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He presents Christ as the Son of God, that he made all things, and without Jesus Christ, nothing was made. But unlike those other Gospels, Mark is very unique in his writing. He foregoes all the past. He forgoes the genealogy. He doesn't say where he comes from, but immediately Mark begins with the ministry of Jesus Christ. In verse 1, chapter 1, the Bible says in Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He presents immediately the miracles, the miraculous works that Christ accomplished here on earth. He starts with his ministry, the gospel. Mark's style is unlike the other gospel writers. It's a brief writing. It's a blunt. It's short. It's sweet. It's not long narratives like you'll see in Luke and Matthew and John. He doesn't use excess verbiage. He gets straight to the point. He speaks quickly of the actions and the accomplishments and the outcomes of Christ's miracles. Mark his writing is very simple and to the point. Mark was in Rome at the time as he wrote this gospel. They tell me that those Romans were very action-oriented. They were busy people. They were people that believed in power and quick action. And that's how Mark writes and presents the gospel according to Mark this morning. We'll see and read about the miracle, one miracle this morning that Mark pins down in chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 2, and we'll read through verse number 20. Chapter 5, verse number 2, Mark. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, but that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee that by God that thou torment me not.' And he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' and he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. There were nigh into the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into him. Verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fled or fed the swine and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see that was possessed with a devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, and saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marveled. I'm thankful that Randy sang that song this morning when I met Jesus. That tells the story. That song introduces our text this morning. And in verse number 20, the Bible says, and he departed. This is the man named Legion, as we refer to. And it says, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. This man who is now saved, who's no longer possessed with these many, many devils, he goes and he begins to publish what Jesus had done for him. You see, he had changed, and no, he was no longer the man he used to be. Now, he didn't want to be in the tombs. He wanted to be around Christ. So he prayed to our Savior, Lord, let me be with thee. And our Lord responds. He says, oh no. He says, you go back to your country and tell your family, tell your friends the great things I have did for you. He was saying, Lord, can I go with you? Can I commune with you? Can I travel with you? Can I be in your presence? He was telling this man, no, you need to go back to your family and go back to your friends and tell them that I saved you. Tell them the mercy and the compassion and the companionship they can find in me. And tell them that I've done it for you and I can do it for them. We find here this morning, you know, it's a great and grand and glorious thing to come to the house of God and to worship and to commune and to praise our Lord and Savior with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But how much more do we need to go outside the walls and publish for the great things God has done for us? I'm interested this morning in one word in our text. The Bible, our text, it uses the word publish. It says he departed and began to publish. It's the word to herald. It's the word to proclaim. It's the word to make known publicly, to tell abroad. 51 times in the New Testament, our word publish is the word preach. What God did for this man that was possessed, he was under the control of Satan, he was living in a cemetery among the dead, among the decaying, God made a preacher out of him. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching. That's the same word this morning as our word publish. When Christ called the disciples and he gathered the disciples in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, it says he ordained the 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth preaching. That's our same word this morning as publish. He's proclaiming. He's preaching the gospel. He's telling the whole country what God had done for him. But we think of the word publish in our English language as a writing. We think of publishing the work of an author or authorship, of one writing a novel, a piece of work, autobiography or a book perhaps. And I began to think this week and began to muse on if this man could, if he possibly could write or if he could read, and he began to put in print, he began to herald and to publish what God had done for him, what kind of book it would be. You see, this man, he was miraculous changed. He was no longer bound with fetters. He was no longer under the control of Satan and possessed with many devils. He was no longer, as Matthew tells us, naked. And he was no longer cussing and living among the seventh cemetery. He was miraculous changed. He was forever changed. Yet, 2,000 years later, we still know him as the maniac of Gadara. He was no longer lost, but now he's saved. But he's still known as the man with the unclean spirit. He was no longer that man that was controlled of Satan. He was a born-again Christian, but yet we refer to him 2,000 years later as legion full of devils. What kind of book, what kind of autobiography would this man pen? What would he write down? What would he publish? What would the title of his book be? I began to think about titles. They say that titles of novels, the titles of books, is the essence, is the most important part of the writing, because the title tells us and represents what's being said in that writing. The maniac, this man, he was publishing the great things God had done for him. He was heralding what God had delivered him from. This man, this maniac, he was proclaiming God's goodness and God's compassion, God's grace, God's love. And just if he could write a book and title a book, I wonder what it would be titled. I believe it would be titled, "Some Things Never Change." I want to preach on that thought this morning. Some things never change. As we see this man, he was lost, he was possessed, he was outcast, he's called the maniac of Gadara, but now he's saved, now he's redeemed. 2,000 years later, we're still referring to him as the maniac, or as the lunatic, as the man full of unclean spirits. Chapter number one of this book, I believe he'd begin to title and he'd begin to write about the people that God visits. Notice the people in our text. He was saying, I was in a country, I was in a land, I was on a steep terrain, on the mountainside, I was living among the tombs, in the cemetery, among the dead, among the decaying. There was no way I could get to Jesus. It was physically impossible. It was physically impossible and spiritually impossible. But when I couldn't get to him, Jesus came to me. We find here he was in Decapolis. He sailed across the stormy sea. He encountered a great storm. We find here he didn't come to Decapolis for the multitudes or for a great harvest of souls or for a great harvest of many people, but he came to Decapolis for one man that was lost. I began to think about the word Decapolis. It means the tract of land or the 10 cities. It was a group of cities that were full of Gentiles. They were full of unbelieving Jews. He forsook those 10 cities. He came to this land for this one man. I believe he would tell us in chapter number one about the people that Christ visits. He would say that he came to me a sinner, then he left me a sinner and went to meet a saved man, a righteous man by the name of Jairus, who was sad his daughter had died. He was needing help and he could not find help, but God came to him. And as he was going to help Jairus, he met a sick woman who spent all she had. She grew worse. She was hopeless and she was helpless, but God came to her as well. I think he would say, you see, he came to me a sinner. I needed a savior. I needed to be set free. He went to a man that was sad, that was needing help for his family. He met a woman that was sick, that had no hope, that was helpless, that needed a touch of his garments. And I want to say this morning, it doesn't matter your circumstance, who you are, your status, your income, it doesn't matter your class, but Jesus Christ can come to you in all the people, because some things never change. Jesus Christ, this morning, just as this man needed him, it doesn't matter if you need him, he can come to you in your situation, your despair, your trouble, your situation. He'll reveal himself to you if you desire. That's the good thing this morning. You can be as close to Christ as you want to be. He'll reveal himself to you. He had sweet fellowship. He communed with this man. I guess what I'm trying to say this morning, that Jesus is just not for the members here at Fletcher First Baptist Church, but he's for everyone. The people that Christ visits. Chapter number one of this book, I believe he'd talk about the people, the compassion he has for people. He loves everyone. He loves me. He loves you. Because some things never change. He began to publish and herald the great things, the miraculous things that Christ had done. And he talks about the people. Number two, I believe he'd speak about the peculiar characteristics of his personality. Notice the characteristics in our text. The Lord is giving us different characteristics here in the church, different personalities. Some are extroverts and some are introverts. Some are loud and boisterous and outspoken, and some of you like me are quiet and reserved. And we see this man, he has a unique personality and peculiar characteristics as well. You see, he was no longer lost. He was no longer under the control of Satan. He was no longer that man possessed, full of devils. He was a new man, a saved man, a different man with different desires, but yet he still had the same personality he had before he was saved. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." He's a new man in Christ. He's a child of God. Yet, he had some of the same peculiar characteristics as he did before he got saved. Notice in our text, verse number 5, "And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying." I believe he would say, before I got saved, I was always, night and day, crying aloud. It means to shout. It means to holler. It means to lift your voice. I believe what he would tell us in this chapter 2 of his book, he said, "I was always shouting. I was always hollering because there was something inside of me that would come over me and I couldn't help myself. And I'd begin to raise my voice and I'd begin to shout and I'd begin to raise aloud and cry aloud." I believe they would say that he would tell the women down in the valley, "Be careful when you go to the well to wash your pots and to wash your clothes, because that man, he'll begin to shout and he'll begin to holler and he raises Cain for no reason." I believe he'd say, "But now, even after Christ saved me, I still have the same problem. It's funny, because now there's something inside of me. Now there's something that controls me. Now there's something that guides me and leads me. And sometimes it'll bubble up and I can't help myself. And I'll begin to shout. I'll begin to raise my voice. I'll begin to cry aloud for what God has done for me." We just come through Thanksgiving. I believe he would say, "I bless his name for saving me. I bless his name for forgiving me. I'm thankful for the food and the raiment, for my health, for my church. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can't help myself but just lift my voice and shout the goodness of God." I believe he said, "Something comes over me, and still night and day, I'll begin to cry aloud. I'll begin to shout." You know, God's been good to us. He's saved us. He's blessed us. He's provided for us. And I just want to say hallelujah to his name. I was crying aloud before because I was in torments. But some reason, somehow, I'm still crying aloud now because I live a triumph life. Peculiar characteristics. He was crying before. He's crying now. I notice he was worshiping before and he's still worshiping now. Prior to our text, Jesus is on the sea. A great storm arises. He steps out upon the sea. He calms the storm. Now, in our text, Jesus and the disciples arrive on the shore. And in verse number 6, the Bible says, But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. In Luke's account, it doesn't use the word worship, but it uses the phrase fell down before him. That's what he did. He comes to Christ, and he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. This thing on the inside of him, this legion, this many knew and testified that he was truly God the Son of God. And he goes and he falls down and he kneels down. It's the idea of bowing down, and he gives place and reverence to who he is. It surprises me that this man that was living among the tombs knew who Jesus was, but yet the religious crowd dwelling in the temple denied him as being the Son of God. The very disciples, his very own, the ones he chose, the ones that lived with him and communed with him, they were on the sea. They were fixing to go down. They thought their life was over. And Christ steps out and he says, "Peace be still." The wind and the waves cease. And they say, "What manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." This man that was lost knew who is Christ, but his very own wondered, "What manner of man is this?" He goes and he worships the Son of God. He gives place. It's the idea of giving position or saluting who Jesus Christ is. He did that before he was saved. But notice, I think in our text, we see he's still giving homage. He's still giving place. In verse number 6, he worships. But it not only means to bow down and to kneel down, but it's the word to kiss. It's when you bow down, not only giving place for who this man is, it's to take his hand or to take his feet and begin to kiss him for what he's done. You see, prior to being saved, he just worshiped him for who he is. But now after he's saved, he's kissing him. He's giving homage. He's taking his hand and his feet, and he's saying, "For he's not only the Son of God, but now he's my Savior. He's not only the Son of God, but now he's my friend. He's not only the Son of God, but now he's he's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Now he's not only the Son of God, he's so much more." He was worshiping him before. He was worshiping now, because some things never change. He was crying. Something inside of him couldn't control himself, and he began to shout the goodness of God. He's bowed down. He's kissing God. He's worshiping God for all that he's done for him. But notice in our text, I believe he would say, "Some things never change, because I was a bother before and I'm a bother now." Look what he says in our text in verse number 4. It says, because he'd been often bound with fetters and chains and had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Cutting himself with stones means to bruise or to slash. He was wild, a lunatic, a maniac. He was so bothersome, so troublesome, they would take fetters and chains and try to make him stay put. But notice verse 18. It says, and when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with a devil prayed him that he might be with him. The word pray, it means to beg. It means to beseech or to constantly entreat. He was bothering people and raising havoc before, but now it's as he's bothering Jesus. He's begging Jesus. He's entreating Jesus. He's beseeching Jesus. It's his peculiar characteristics. And I want to say this morning that God, he wants us to bother him. He desires us to bring our cares and cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. He wants us to entreat and to pray and to beg. We see here as he comes into the ship, he prays, and he's beseeching beseeching the Lord. He's saying, Lord, I'm bringing my troubles. I'm bringing my cares. I'm bringing everything I have to you and laying them at your feet. This morning, our Lord would find it nice and he would find it pleasing if we could find ourselves in this altar, casting our burdens upon him, leaving our cares at his feet. He desires us. He's wanting us to bother, to beg, to pray and beseech him. He's writing a book titled Some Things Never Change. In chapter 1, he speaks of the people that Christ visits. Chapter 2, I believe he speaks of those peculiar characteristics that he possesses. I believe in chapter number 3, he would talk about how prayer changes things. Notice in our text, there's 3 separate prayers. There's 3 different groups. There's 3 separate requests, but there's 3 answered prayers. In verse number 17, it says, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. These members, these residents, locals of the land of the Gadarenes, they came, and once they were afraid of him because they could not control him. But now they find that Christ saves him, redeems him. It tells us he's sitting, he's clothed in his right mind. And notice in our text, it says that they were afraid. They were afraid before, and after Christ does this miraculous change, they're afraid now. They prayed that Jesus would leave them. They didn't desire Christ or what he had to offer for them, and Christ answers their prayers. Verse 18, it says, and when he was come into the ship, he that was possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. And then in verse number 9, it says, this man named Legion, he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And they besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. This man that was full of devils, named Legion. They tell me that the Legion, Roman Legion, would be made up to 6,000 soldiers. He was saying, I'm full of devils. I'm full of Satan, and my name is Legion. And these devils, demons, began to pray. The word is beseech or besought. They prayed, they begged God not to send them out into the sea, into the abyss. Luke tells us, it says, before our time. I believe it's referring to the bottomless pit, when he cast them into the bottomless pit. And Christ, if you notice, he answers their prayers. Sends them to a herd of swine on the hillside. If Christ would answer the prayers of some unbelieving Gentiles and Jews, if he would give them leave and answer the prayers and the request of a legion of devils, don't you think God desires to answer our prayers this morning? Our text tells us in verse 18 that this man that once was lost prayed him that he might be with him. But Christ, in verse number 19, says, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. As we read this, we think that Christ didn't answer his prayers. But I believe if we study it, he wanted to be with him. He could have been with Christ for 3 years, but I believe now he's with Christ for eternity. And not only is he with Christ for eternity, but he got to go back to his family and friends. And I believe he got to take some of them with him, because he began to publish and tell abroad, preach of how the great things God had done for him. You see, the same things in this text never change. Christ still visits people in their time of need. Jesus Christ, no matter what our needs are, they're peculiar needs, we have peculiar characteristics, he still desires to meet those needs. And even though he was praying to God 2,000 years ago, some things never change, because God still answers prayers, and prayers changes things. Let's stand this morning. Sister Tiffany, if you'll come and sing, play Jesus Paid It All. You know, Jesus saved this man that was full of sin, full of Satan, and full of self. He can save you this morning, because some things never change. Whatever your prayer need is, whatever your request is, whatever you desire, your trouble, whatever you're facing, Christ can meet you in that need, because some things never change. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your mercy and your grace. God, we want to thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, we want to thank you that we can call upon your name. Lord, we want to thank you that you came by our way one day in our need, in our sins, and saved us. We bless you for that. And God, no doubt this congregation this size has many needs and many desires and many problems. God, I'm thankful that some things never change. You can still meet needs. You can still answer prayers. And you still can change our situation, because some things never change. Lord, I bless you. Father, you are all that we need this morning, because some things never change. Help us, Lord. Visit your people. Hear the prayers. Father, we beseech you. We beg you. We entreat on your behalf, Lord, to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to visit us, to make yourself known, and we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for all that you accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever your need is this morning, this altar is open. He can meet you here. He can help you. Why don't you come?
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Spots and melt this heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Last verse, which gets to the chorus. Let's sing it as a congregation.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat.
All God's people said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Gunn, for that wonderful message that God sent to us this morning. We're so excited about what God's doing. Thank God for you this morning, all visitors. We welcome you again. And tonight, one of our young preachers will be preaching for us, Christian Wilson. Come support him. And again, we're so happy and thrilled that you're here. The new memberships committee is going to come, stand right here. And after we dismiss, if you'd like to come and present yourself as a member by baptism, by letter, by statement, then they'll be happy to talk to you about that. We've had several people over the years that wanted to join, and we found out some of them wasn't saved. It's a good time to get saved. And if you have any needs, you have the desire to know more about our church, we'll tell you. You need to know all about what God's doing, and so come at this time. Brother Roger, if you'll come up here, please. Roger Silver, and pray with us and dismiss us, and we thank God for what he's doing. Don't forget the Christmas play practice. Wednesday night, we'll have Awana, but we will not have a worship service because they need to practice the play, okay?
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this Sunday, God, thanking you, Father, for the blessing you bestowed upon us, Father. Lord, every day is a blessing, God, but Sunday is definitely special for me, God, and I thank you, Lord, for it, what it means to us, God, but your Holy Spirit, Lord, guides our heart, Lord, touch our soul, Father. Lord, lead, guide, and direct us where you'd have to go, Father. I appreciate, God, the message you sent to us, Lord, receptive hearts, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you lead, guide, and direct everyone here, Father. Lord, the ones that are sick and afflicted, God, you especially touch them, Lord, for be your will, Father. We thank you, God, for this church, Lord. Lord, everyone that's involved in this church, Lord, whether it's teaching, preaching, Lord, the singing, Lord, the song leaders, God, that you touch them, Lord, a special portion of your love, Father. But Lord, most of all, Father, we'll never forget where you brought us from, God. We thank you, Lord, most of all, of where we're going, Father. We thank you, God, for saving our wretched soul, God. Lord, lead God and direct us the rest of this day, Lord. Lead God and direct us where you have us to go. We come back tonight, God, most of all, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be with us, God. And we'll never fail to give you the honor, praise, and glory, because in Jesus' precious, holy, wonderful name, we humbly beg. Amen.